Scripture reading for this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
First, I want to say that any overlap between this sermon and what Travis said this morning is purely coincidental. You might have noted that in this passage we're going to talk about feet. So, I had my idea first. Okay. I appreciated what Travis had to say this morning. I thought that was an appropriate message, and he did a good job. All of our men do a good job. And it was pointed out to me lately that it's interesting how each man has a different perspective and talent, but is able to bring two thoughts together and leave a good understanding for us. So very, very appreciative of the men who get up and preach. That's a good thing. All right, let's go over to Mark 16:15. We're going to start there tonight. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, but the one who has not believed will be condemned." You know, we're given commands to go preach the gospel. And sometimes we look at the commandments and it's like, I don't want to do that. You know, you're telling me something to do. What are you telling me something to do? And we look at it as a chore rather than as a joy. As you're sitting there tonight, I would ask you to ask yourself, how do you feel about telling the good news to people? Do you ask yourself or think about, do I have to really do that? I don't know why God wants me to do that. Nobody wants to listen. Maybe you think, I'm really not smart enough to tell other people about the gospel. Maybe you think, that's just not my talent. You know, I'm good at cleaning the building and doing landscaping, but it's not my talent to go tell others about Christ. Maybe you think people don't care either way. Maybe you think people will make fun of you for talking to them about the gospel. Or, you know, somebody might try to tell you that the scriptures aren't relevant to today's world. There's lots of people that think that the scriptures are for a past time, for different people. But I think they speak to us stronger today than ever. And Satan will try to take this commandment of God and make it look as unattractive as possible. He might have put some of those thoughts in your head. He might try to make it look like, well, I don't want to be called a Bible thumper. You know what a Bible thumper is? Somebody takes their Bible and whacks somebody upside the head with it. This is what it says. You got to do this, right? That's the way they act. If you tell them God's will, if you say this is what God wants for you, don't be thumping that Bible upside my head. You know, that's their thought. Or, you know, maybe you're afraid of being called someone who's on the God Squad. All right? You know what the God Squad is? That's the super highly pharisaical, uppity person who follows God that tells everybody what they're doing wrong. Right? Maybe Satan will make it look like, well, that's just a lot of rules. that your book is no fun, you know? And he tries to make you think that in telling others about Christ that you're going to deny other people fun. Or maybe he'll say, well, if you use that, you're just being judgmental. You're just being judgmental. It's not judgmental to tell people about who Christ is, who God is, and the story that's there, and let them determine whether this is right or not. It's not a judgmental thing to say this is God's will for you. I'm not telling you one way or the other. This is what God says. It's up to you. So these are some of the things that we have to overcome in trying to spread the gospel. Okay? Some of the attitudes, some of the problems that are out there. But we need to look at it differently. We have something that the world needs. We have a lot of stuff, something that the world needs. We have the gospel, also called the good news. Do you think people in today's world want to hear good news? I think they want to hear good news. They cling to the stock market report every day, you know, wanting to know if their stocks are going up or down. You know, is the Fed chair going to lower interest rates or is he going to raise them? How much am I going to have to pay for groceries down at Walmart this week? They want good news. They want to hear good things. They want things that are better for their lives. You know, Friday, my two oldest grandchildren graduated from preschool. That was a good news day, right? It was cute seeing them in their little graduation hats. And I hope they make the bigger graduations. Anyway... I hope that we tell them enough good news that they graduate to heaven appropriately. That's the one, the biggest one. But people want to hear good news, and we have good news to give to them, that salvation is available. We have good news to let them know that God loves you. We have good news that you can have peace. We have good news that you can have eternal life. We have good news that you can live your life abundantly here. We're not selling something. The gospel is not a product. The gospel is a way of life. It's an understanding that God loved you so much that He made a way for you to escape the problems of this world, to overcome, to live contentedly. We have all these things. And so when Satan tries to tell us you're a Bible thumper or on the God squad or you're judgmental or nobody wants to hear, when he tries to tell you these things, he'll do anything to keep us from telling other folks about the good news. Okay? We need to look at it differently. It's not just a commandment. We have an opportunity to help somebody out. Okay, you know, I've gotten to help my grandson today get in and out of the car with Kira's knee. I'm not having her lift him around. And, you know, he needs to grab a hand to be able to get out of that big SUV out there, right? He needs a hand up, a hand down. People need a hand up. They need to be given the opportunity, and we can do that. Isaiah 52:7, as was read in our hearing, how delightful on the mountains are the feet of one who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. It's a delight to bring good news to other people. Don't look at it as a chore. Don't look at it as they don't want to hear. Be who you are and tell them about the gospel. Be who you are and share with them the hope that you've been given. If they reject, that's their decision. That's not a failure on our part. That's their decision. Okay? So we need to look at it as a delight that we're bringing good news to them. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and following says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? But how are they to preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." So this evening, I want to ask you a question. Do you have beautiful feet? Okay. We already heard Travis say this morning his were dirty. Okay. I imagine he cleaned them up after yesterday's work. We heard a great message about how God, how Jesus washed the feet of His disciples. You know, if we look at it, we've been washed in the blood, head to toe, made presentable before Christ, before God. Our feet are clean. Okay? How beautiful are your feet? So, Paul's not asking the question if you've recently had a pedicure. Okay? Never had one of those in my life. I think my feet would be ticklish. I don't know if I'd like that or not. But anyway, Paul's not asking if we've had a pedicure. Spiritually speaking, those who share the gospel of Jesus Christ have beautiful feet. As Christ followers, we should all have the goal of having beautiful feet. You know, every once in a while, because I'm a diabetic, when I go and get my 6 month checkup, they always want to look at my feet. They want to make sure that I don't have any wounds on there that aren't healing. Okay? Diabetics don't heal up. It's not beautiful to have a wound on your feet. Anybody ever had a wart on their feet? It's bad. You want to get that taken care of really quick. One of the things that we need to take care of as Christians is getting the wart off our feet. We need to go see the great physician and be willing to go and tell the message to other people. You know, in this scripture that we just read, Paul begins by making it clear that salvation is for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. While assuring truth, there is no elite, social, economic, or spiritual class for whom the good news is reserved. If we tell people about the gospel, they can call upon the Lord in obedience and become Christians. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what country you come from. You can call upon the Lord and He'll save you. That's a reassuring truth that we need to carry with us every day. It's intended for everyone. This glorious truth, however, does not exist in isolation. That's why Paul asked four questions. I don't know if you heard those four questions, but there's four questions in that passage. First, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You know, if we decide of who's going to be willing to follow the gospel and who isn't, we're taking the opportunity away from somebody to be able to follow the Lord, to be able to call on Him. We're taking the choice away from them. We're making the choice. Don't predetermine who's worthy of the gospel or who you're going to have success with. Yeah, if I tell this person the gospel, they'll become a Christian. I could put another notch on my Bible, right? No, that's not how it works. Remember, we're not earning our way into heaven. We're just telling people the good news. Someone who needs rescuing will only call out to a person that they believe can actually save them. Would a drowning person cry out to the dock to throw them a life preserver if there's nobody on the dock? Would a drowning person call out to a seagull sitting idly by to pull them to safety? Not going to happen. They're going to call out to somebody that they think can help them. You need to be that somebody. You need to be that person who can pull them ashore and help them not to drown. The second question, how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? I hope that on Judgment Day there's no one there that says, I never heard this. And I don't think there will be. Okay? Romans tells us that His invisible qualities have been seen and there's no excuse. So I don't think that's going to happen. But that doesn't absolve us of our responsibility to tell others about Christ. Belief necessarily follows knowledge. Said in a different way, if belief is the destination, everyone must pass through knowledge to get there. There's no shortcut. A person cannot believe in something unless he knows the thing to believe in. Why are we giving an answer for the hope that we have? So that people can understand why we believe in Christ. So that lost individuals can see that we believe in something and that they can base their life on that belief and take action. 3, how are they to hear without someone preaching? You know, we don't have a full-time minister here. Does that mean that we're falling short? No. We're all ministers of the gospel. All of us who are Christians are ministers of the gospel. And we need to be telling other people. In order for someone to hear the good news, it has to be spoken. Now, there's lots of ways to speak, okay? We can speak through our actions. If somebody needs a cup of cold water, are you helping them out? Are you opening the door with them so that you can talk to them about Christ? Are you standing on a corner in downtown Columbus and preaching? Probably won't be that effective, but I'm not going to prejudge. Somebody might listen. Okay? Are you knocking a door? I saw Alkire Road is going to have a group from Latin America come up and do a campaign. I told you guys there are people from other countries coming to America to do campaigns. I think that's interesting. But here's the deal. For someone to hear the good news, it has to be spoken. Somehow we have to communicate to others about the good news. You know, Moses didn't want to talk. I mean, all kinds of excuses before God. He didn't want to go face Pharaoh. And God took excuse after excuse after excuse, even gave him his brother Aaron to go help him out. But he made sure that the gospel was preached, the good news that the Israelites were going to be freed, right? God provides a way for us. We have to believe that. This fact encourages us to pursue conversations and relationships with others in order to share the gospel. You know, I've talked to my neighbor, and she has some religious understanding. And I can't download everything to her at one night. But whatever she'll accept, I plant seeds. I plant seeds. I plant seeds. That's what we need to do. We want the Lord to grant us a clear understanding of the gospel. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we look and consider the words. We meditate on it day and night. That's why we talk to one another. That's why we encourage one another. We have to have a clear understanding of the gospel and the ability to speak it with clarity, along with readiness to share it with others. The fourth question that he asks is, how are they to preach unless they are sent? Messengers only deliver their message after they're sent out. Ask Chris about that. Chris delivers packages. You're not going to deliver a package unless you're sent to do that, right? Amazon Prime, okay? If you don't get a package unless... How many people have ordered something on Amazon and you didn't get it? I've had it a couple times, right? If the company doesn't send it, you're not going to get it. Well, guess what? If we don't send the message to others, they're not going to get it. Okay? Messengers only deliver their message after they're sent out. It's hard to imagine Amazon or UPS or somebody else keeping a delivery person keeping their job if they just stayed in their factory all day or their processing plant. I don't need you if you're not going to go out and spread the what I deliver those packages. I don't need you if you're not going to spread the word. As Christ followers, we are all messengers who have already been sent out. We need to spread it. You know, Ephesians 6:14 tells us to be shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. Some of us need to go see a podiatrist. And we need to get our feet right. I don't know, it was pre-pandemic, but I had problems in both my feet. Okay? They hurt. And I went to a podiatrist and he says, well, you got plantar fasciitis in both feet for different reasons. Right? And I had to go through physical therapy and I had to get better shoes. Okay? I had to do different things so I wouldn't have pain in my feet. We need to see a spiritual podiatrist. We need to build our strength up to be able to teach the gospel. Okay? There's a reason why we're told to grow in the virtues. Grow. Become more effective. We want to be the best servants of Christ that we can be. And we want to be the best ambassadors that we can be. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, where is the wise person? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than mankind, and the weakness of God is stronger than mankind. If we think that we're going to be too weak, if we think that we're not going to be effective, I want you to get your thinking different. The power to preach the gospel is not within us. The power is in the Word. The power is in how the Word impacts your life. Are you a good servant? Are you consistent? Do you walk the walk that you talk? A. And B, are you putting out what God says? Regardless of whether you're brilliant of mind, regardless of whether you can make the greatest theological debate arguments or not, that's not the point. If Satan gets you there, you're never going to step out, right? I put my little container gardens out back. Sometimes my crops do decent, and other times not. You know, I bought these nice tomato plants about 3-4 years ago. Went down here to Lynn's, okay? And I bought these beautiful tomato plants, and they were going to have a really special Italian tomato. And I put them in my box. And boy, they were good. I watered them every day. Everything was looking great. And I saw some fruit on them. Oh yeah, these are going to be wonderful, right? And As they were starting to ripen, I looked at the bottom and they were black. It had blossom and light. And I found out that there's not a whole lot you can do with it at that point because there's not enough calcium in the soil. Okay, so container gardening, you got to play with some rules, right? I learned a lesson. Now if I go buy a plant like that, I'll make sure there's plenty of calcium in the soil. And I'll go out and I'll do it again. If we mess up with teaching the gospel to somebody, we learn our lesson and we go out and we do it again. We try to work with that person and say, you know, how amazing would it be to go to somebody that you had taught something to them and found out, oh, I wasn't right about that. And you went up and say, hey, I learned something new about this. Can we talk about it? Would they be impressed that you corrected your thinking and that you learned from it? I think we need to look at this as an opportunity, not as, what if I screw up? Okay? The foolishness of God is wiser than mankind. Whatever arguments that we make, as long as they come from Scripture, as long as it's what God says, they're going to be stronger than whatever mankind does. So this evening, I want you to be encouraged as fellow Christians who are sent out. Be encouraged to share the gospel of Christ. Be encouraged to share that good news so that it can be known, so that Christ can be believed, so that he can be called upon for salvation. When that happens, the feet of those sharing the good news are beautiful indeed. I hope that we all have such feet. Now, I will say this. We're not going to have a foot washing down here, okay? My cousin, who likes to stir things up spiritually, tried to lure me into a theological debate one night and said, do you believe in foot washing? And I told him, I believe you can wash your feet before you get to church, sure. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're sticking on the right path. You want to make sure that you're trying not to be drawn into stupid debates, right? You want to follow the path and present Christ rightly. This evening, if you need to call upon the Lord, we would love to act on your hearing and your belief to baptize you into the Lord after you've confessed. We'd like to understand your repentance and we'd like to see you rise up to walk in newness of life. If we can help you with that or if you're struggling in any way, we'd love to pray with you. Please come while we stand and sing.